it is. There is God. There is a God. And God is right there. God is with us. Hashem is with us all the time. Hashem is with us. So that's the reality. Isn't it amazing? So how do you get to that reality? And the answer is only if you make it part of your thoughts. If you think about Hashem, then Hashem becomes real for you. If you don't think about Hashem, Hashem is not real for you. It's very simple. You can't see Hashem. There's no way you can see Hashem. But you can be aware of Hashem. How do you become aware of Hashem? Only by pondering Hashem and thinking about Hashem can you be aware of Hashem. And then a person is going to work on that, making that awareness a reality for them. It's a totally different living. There's two people living, neighbors. One has God on his mind, and one has no God on his mind. So one lives a godly life, and one lives a non-godly life. Now, sometimes the lives can be very similar. This guy's ethical, and this guy's ethical, hopefully. Hopefully. They're both ethical. Right? So the trouble is, this guy's ethical, not because he believes in God. He's not doing a mitzvah because he's ethical, he's a humanist. But he's not doing a mitzvah because he's ethical because he's a humanist. He doesn't want to do bad because other people might do bad to him. Don't do others what do others do to you. It's a low level. Okay. But when it comes to morality, that's what you see today. Morality just falls apart. Where there's no fear of God, there's no morality. Where do we see this? It's in the Torah exactly right. When Abraham goes to Mitzrayim, he tells his wife, tell lies. Tell everyone you're my brother, you're my sister. So I'm your brother. So why? There's no Yerushalayim, right? When he goes to the Pelishtim, tell lies. Tell everyone you're my sister. Why? There's no Yirat Shamayim. So when it comes to ethics, maybe there is ethics, but when it comes to morality, everything falls apart. There's no Yirat Shamayim, everything falls apart. And we're seeing this today, because there's no Yirat Shamayim. So people can do whatever they want in their bedrooms. No problem. So it's very, very critical. Number one is to let God into your life by thinking about Hashem, and making Hashem into a reality for yourself. Because first it starts as a reality. Hashem is Yahweh. So the kids learn in school, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, down, right? Right, left, all around, right? This way, it's something to grasp onto for a kid. And then when they grow up, they say, but where is he? I can't see him. Rabbi, where is Hashem? Tell me, where is he? So the answer is, he's everywhere and nowhere. How do we know it's nowhere? Because David HaMelech says, "Me'ayin yavo ivri?" From where will come my help? From nowhere will come my help. Ayin is nowhere. From nowhere will come my help. What is he saying? Does he say help will not come, or is he saying Hashem is nowhere, and that's where my help will come from? Me'ayin yavo ivri? From nowhere will come my help. From nothingness will come my help, because Hashem is nothingness. Hashem is not physical, he's nothingness. As far as we can say, he's nothingness. Physicality is nothing. But my help will come from a nothingness. Hashem is nowhere. He's nowhere. He's everywhere, nowhere. So we have to find him. We find him by letting him into our lives. So that's very critical, is this meditation of Yirat Shamayim. The meditative Yirat Shamayim is Hashem is here right now, watching what we're doing right now. And to make that from a meditation of surreality into a meditation of reality, to feel, start feeling Hashem is with me, to feel Hashem is watching me, Hashem is with me. So it's very critical. And that's what David HaMelech says in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. He didn't say, maybe you're with me. He said, didn't say, where are you? He didn't say, I can't see you. He says, you are with me. I know you are with me. Now, it's interesting, because what's his proof that Hashem is with him? What was his proof that Hashem is with him? Shiftecha, mishaltecha, hemei nachamuni. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's very strange. You know? How do I know you're with me? You're with me, why? Because I see your rod and I see your staff. So rabbis say, what is the rod and what is the staff? So he says, the rod because it gets hurt. That's a rod. I see there is hashgacha in this world. I see divine providence in this world, in my own life. I do something bad, the rod. And the staff, I feel sometimes you're pulling me in a certain direction. It was the rod. The staff is what the shepherds used. They had a crook at the end. You know, a crook is a bent part to pull the sheep. So they catch the sheep's neck and pull it. So Hashem said, David HaMelech says, I know you're with me because I feel sometimes the rod and I feel your staff pulling me sometimes. So that's the proof. How do you see God? You have to see God in your life. You have to see which way Hashem is leading you. It's a hard time sometimes. But you've got to think, what does Hashem want from me? Where is Hashem leading me? How does these events play out? And it's all about events which are beyond your control. Because events with your control, that's you. That's your free will. Events which are beyond your control, let me give you an example. I had a case of a family which is slowly becoming Balei Tshuva. Had them over for Shabbat, and they were getting into it, and really, what happened was a terrible test, which I don't know if I'd pass up a test. What happened was, they had removed the oil tank from the house, but the pipe stuck out. And an oil delivery service came and delivered oil to the wrong house. To their house, which had no tank, but they had the pipe still stuck out. Imagine. And delivers oil, and their whole basement area is all now full of oil. The whole ground is full of oil. They had to move out of the house and have remedial things done to their property. They were on the verge of committing themselves to keeping Shabbat. I didn't see them again. They moved somewhere else. 6 months. When they came back, they were gone. The test was too great for them. It was too great a test. Well, I don't know if it's too great for them. But you see, sometimes things happen in a person's life. A person's going to think, what does Hashem want from me? What is he doing this to me? A person gets sick. A person's going to think, what is Hashem? This is the rod and the staff that we have in our lives. Sometimes things that go well with a person. A person loses their job, they find a better job. So they got the rod and the staff pulled in a certain direction. So a person's got to keep thinking, because that's what Hashem is knocking on the door. When things happen to the person out of their control, Hashem is knocking on the door. So Hashem is with us all the time. A person's got to keep thinking, Hashem is with us all the time. And that's awe of Hashem. That's Yirei Shamayim. A pervading awareness of Hashem's presence. Agreeing with the truth is Havdalah. Separating from lies. And speaking sincerely is uniting one's heart and one's mind. So uniting one's heart with mind. So those are the three stages mentioned in this thing, right? Number one is Yirei Shamayim. Le'olam Yadam Yirei Shamayim. Modeh al Ha'emet. And admit the truth, which means keep away from lies. With the very mebavo. And have truth in his heart and his mind. Three different stages. And Hashem resides where a person removes their ego. And that's what awareness is about. Why do people deny God? Because if I admit there's a God, I have to admit that I am number two instead of number one. Right? I have to listen to someone, another power. People do not want to give in to a different power. People want to run their lives the way they like their lives. If I believe there's a God, especially if I believe God has given us a Torah, and I got all these rules now, it's too hard for me to accept all these rules. My ego stands in the way, and therefore I cannot accept the rules. I cannot accept there's a God.
But there are people that I find don't have egos. They've just been so abused or so hurt in their life. They
yes.
Over, so
yes.
They feel like, how could there be a God if God was not a shield to them at a young age and their life was in ruins? So they feel like God can't be just good.
And there's a psalm for them as well. The psalm for them is, David says, Shira Ma'alot, Mimah Makim Karati Hashem. I called out to you from the depths, Hashem. So persons in the depths have got to know. Just like there's a God for those who are high, there's a God for those who are low as well. So even better. It's even better. Why? There's no ego blocking them. What's blocking them? Their own self-esteem. But there's a God out there. God can pull them up from the depths. So it's very important. Especially when a person is knocked down. And a person is down and out. To remember there is a higher authority who you can appeal to pull them out of their depression. Pull them out of their troubles. And that's David HaMelech says, Mama, keep imagine. We have no idea what it's like to be David HaMelech before he's a king, right? Here he was, the youngest son of Yishai. And Yishai disowned him as a son. How do we know he disowned him? Because when the prophet Shmuel comes and says, Yishai, you have any more children? I do have. I have one more kid. You mean he's my kid? He's your kid. You have any more kids? He's your kid. Bring him here. Yishai says, he's my kid? I didn't think he was my kid. We don't know what it's like to be David HaMelech, an outcast from an early age, thrown into the fields. Imagine a little kid thrown into the fields to be a shepherd. Lions come. Bears come. He's the son of a very, very wealthy person thrown into the fields. What does David HaMelech do? He could have crashed completely. Hashem, I called out to you. And if you look, read Tehillim, it's really a prayer of people, person in the depths, really. A lot of the Tehillim are just so poignant. He's running away from his son. His son is trying to kill him. What is he doing? Hashem, Marabu Sarai! Help me, Hashem! That's what Tehillim is all about. Tehillim is definitely for a person in trouble. Well, a lot of the Tehillim, except for the Hallelujahs, which is on a high level. Person who things are going well and they can praise God with all their hearts. But a lot of the Tehillim is about people who are low. And it's a benefit to be low. Why? Because there's no ego. It's a benefit. It's a higher level. It's amazing. A person who's afflicted really can get to Hashem very quickly. A person not afflicted, that's trouble. That's why troubles happen to a person. It's because Hashem says, your ego is stopping me from connecting to you. I want to lower your ego a little bit. This happens not just with God, it happens with relationships as well. It's the ego that stops the husband talking to his wife nicely. It's the ego to the wife stopping her talking to nice. They can't get along. They're both big egos. On the other hand, if there's no self-esteem, everything crashes as well. So there's a combination of here. So let me ask you a question. What is the difference between ego and self-esteem? So it's a very, very important idea. It's very, very... I came across it by after many years of study. Unfortunately, no, I didn't get it straight away. So everyone needs self-esteem. We all need self-esteem. What is self-esteem? Self-esteem is a little bit of ego, right? I know my powers. I know my abilities. That's a little bit of ego there. And the answer is, you're right. It's ego, but it's... A person says, I can do it. But Hashem gave me the ability. That's humility. Ego is, I can do it. Period. That's it. I'm the control. Self-esteem is, I can do it. But I have to realize where that came from. And that's Hashem. And that's what humility is. So humility is not, I can't do it. Humility is not, I'm useless. No one is useless. Everyone has their strengths. And that's something which we have to teach. Everyone needs self-esteem. But humility is that self-esteem with the knowledge that Hashem gave me that ability. And that's humility. That's where humility is. And that was David HaMelech. And that's what David HaMelech's name. The Dalit stands for Dalut. Dalit stands for Dalut, which is humility. Dalit at the end is humility. In the middle was a vav pointing upwards. Hashem, my power comes from you. So that's a very important. The Dalit, David, the letters itself is his name. Dalit is Dalut. And two Dalits, imagine. And the middle is the vav which points upwards. Everything came from you, Hashem. Okay, I just want to go through a very, very amazing Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi in Brachot. Very, very fascinating. Three rabbis in this Gemara, in Talmud Yerushalmi, say, we only had Kavanah once in our lives. Can you imagine that? Three great rabbis say, we only had Kavanah once in our lives when we prayed. Kavanah, what's Kavanah? Concentration, focus. We only had Kavanah once in our lives when we prayed. And then the rabbi tells you what Kavanah he had, which is also very strange. You see the Kavanah we're going to talk about. So we have a major question. How can it be that the rabbis in the Talmud Yerushalmi, on which we said these rabbis had the power of Tiyat HaMetim, the power they had divine inspiration, how could these rabbis only say that they had Kavanah once in their lives when they prayed? They never focused once, only once in their lives they focused on the Tefillah. So here he has a very interesting explanation. And that explanation is, they didn't need to have Kavanah. Their whole life revolved around God. Their minds were totally full of God because they had Yirat Shamayim. Every second was Yirat Shamayim. And therefore their prayers were always full of Yirat Shamayim. Only once in their lives did their focus be lost and they needed to get to Kavanah to get this focus back. Great, it's a great explanation, right? Only once in their lives they need Kavanah to get back. So it was three great rabbis, each one. Imagine, in their lives they never lost focus on Hashem. They always focused on Hashem, focused on Hashem, focused on Hashem. That's called Dveikut. Dveikut is clinging to Hashem, being stuck to Hashem. So these rabbis all had Dveikut. But one issue happened in their lives where they lost their Dveikut. Maybe they lost a relative, maybe an accident happened, maybe the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Something happened that caused them to break that Dveikut, and they needed Kavanah to get it back. Okay. So the word Kavanah comes from Lechaven, which is to direct and focus one's mind for prayer. So that's only necessary when your mind is not focused. When do you need Kavanah? When your mind is not focused. A person with Dveikut, a person who's aware of Hashem's presence, does not need kavana, because they're aware of it. It's right there. It's ubiquitous. It's right there. So we only need kavana when a person is not in a frame of mind that knows that there's Hashem there. That's when you need kavana. So it's a very, very fascinating. So these rabbis, and let me tell you what their kavanot were. Very, very strange kavanot. So one occasion where they did have to focus their minds on lessons on how to concentrate for us if our mind is unfocused. Each rabbi had a different method most suited for them. Everyone has their own method. That's a trick. The trick is that only you know what can focus your mind. I can't tell you. I can give you different opinions. I can give you different methods. But you have to know what works for you. I can't tell you what's going to work for you. You have to know what works for you, because you have to try out all these different things and see what works for you. So I'm going to give you different opinions, different ideas over here. So one rabbi, what worked for him was, he thinks he's going to stand before a king, a physical king. Just like the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he's dying, he's crying. They said, well, Rabbi, why are you crying? He said, if a person was going to go for judgment for a king of flesh and blood, who today is here, tomorrow is not here, and the punishment is not forever, and he's scared, how much more so I should be scared of a king of kings, who is here forever, and his punishment is forever. So a person says, I'm going to go and talk to the King of Kings. I'm going to get into a framework of going for an audition, for a meeting with the King of Kings. So that brought his mind back to focus on Hashem. That's number one. Number two, this is more metaphoric. The second rabbi says, I focused on flying birds. To get my kavanah, I focused on flying birds. You see the birds take off from the ground. It's amazing how fast they can go. It's amazing. It's really amazing. The power of their wings, it's baffling. Can you imagine ancient man looking at the birds and saying, I wish I could do that. And they're all making the wings. And you see the guys flying off the buildings. And then they fall flop to their death straight away. Our bodies are just too heavy. Our wings... we don't, even if we have wings, we can't move our hands. We don't have the power to lift off. So, can you imagine? So the rabbi says, I watch birds taking off. What's that got to do with prayer? What's that got to do with Hashem? It's a metaphor for angels. Angels have wings, apparently. Whatever that means. They don't have wings, they don't have anything, you can't see them. But Yeshayahu Navi saw them in his vision, and he saw them with six wings. Shnaim lechazor panav, two to cover his face. Shnaim lechazor raglav, two to cover his legs, and two to fly with. Angels have six wings, two to cover themselves, four to cover themselves, and two to fly with. Whatever that means, but we see that there's an analogy over here. I looked at the birds flying, and I thought of spiritual thoughts. The birds' flight reminded me of angels, and the angels reminded me of God, and that's why I could pray. So meditating on birds, winged ones, brought into meditation about heavenly beings, and the meditation of heavenly beings brought this rabbi closer to God. So that's the second meditation. The third meditation is more strange. You know, it's interesting because in this room you can't see bricks. Well, I can see just two rows on top. This room was all brick. It's all brick before we put the bookcases in. The main sanctuary is all brick. So this meditation is just for that. If you have a sanctuary of brick, this works for you. The third rabbi counted rows of bricks in a wall to get his meditation back. Baffling. He's counting the rows of bricks. One, two, three, four. What does that mean? Rows of bricks in the wall, he's focusing on the barriers between him and Hashem. We have to realize that between us and God are barriers. A lot of these barriers are self-built. We build our own barriers sometimes. Sometimes society builds the barriers. These barriers are rows and rows of bricks. So he's looking at them. Why can't I focus today? He's examining all the barriers in his life which are stopping him from focusing. Those are the rows of bricks. So he's looking at the periphery which is stopping him. And that's his ego. Plus his ego is stopping them right now. That ego is the rows of bricks which are surrounding the person, and we've got to count the rows and then try and demolish them one by one. So let's just go through these three different meditations. Number one is comparing Hashem to a king. So I'm going to speak now to a king. I've got to prepare myself. I've got to act in a nice way. I've got to clear my mind, because when I speak, you know, last night I was listening to the radio, one of the radio news stations, and the woman who was talking, the announcer, she was what's called megamgem. What's megamgem? She was
stammering.
Well, wasn't really a stammer. It just wasn't fluent. It wasn't flowing. Either she was tired or she was drunk. I don't think she was drunk. I think she was tired. I don't think she was drunk, because she was making sense. She was saying things which made sense. But the flow, I mean, these guys are chosen for the flow. That's what makes them a news announcer, because they're chosen for their flow. And the flow was not there. I mean, she was talking about the helicopter crash. So I guess she didn't have the words in front of her. She was making it up as she went along, and she was stammering away. Interesting. So that could be a problem when a person prays to Hashem. Rav Hanina ben Dosa, the great Rav Hanina ben Dosa, it says, everyone would come to him to pray for them. And Hanina would say, you, this one's going to live and this one's not going to live. He knew. And they asked him, how do you know which prayer is effective? He says, if it flows from my mouth nicely, I know it's going to be effective. If somehow I can't say it properly, I know it's not going to be effective. What does that mean? That means, and this is halakha in the Shulchan Aruch for the Chazan. Before the holidays, he has to practice his prayers so the words will flow fluently from his mouth. And that's something which we have to do as well. We have to realize when we pray, the words have to flow fluently from our mouths. And that's the first kavanah. I'm standing before a king. I have limited time. The words have to flow. I have to know what I'm saying. I have to think what I'm saying. That's only if you have kavanah. If you have kavanah, everything flows. But if you don't have kavanah, my person's thinking about his business. A person's thinking about his business. A person's thinking about his... Right? I'm not talking about a person who has a mouth defect. I'm talking about a regular person who can talk nicely, but he didn't prepare himself. What am I going to say? So that's why the rabbis wrote the prayer book. Why the rabbis had to write a prayer book? You know what to say. You know what you need, right? We'll have to tell you what you say, because you don't pray for the right things, or you don't know what you're saying. So that's what I mean by straightening out. So, for example, Shema Koleno. You can put it wherever you want, Shema Koleno. What am I going to tell God? What am I going to ask for God? How do people think before they pray? These are the things I need in my life. These are the things I need for Klal Yisrael. These are the things. That's exactly why the rabbis had to write down. So, that's the preparation. So I'm going before a king. I need to not dream. You can't dream before a king. That's a problem. The problem is a lot of people just dream when they pray. They're daydreaming. They're not really praying. Their minds are not there. And that's like a body without a soul, he said. Chovat HaLevavot says, a prayer without kavanah is like a body without a soul. And we know what that means. It's like a dead person, basically. So it's a dead prayer. So how does a person make the prayer alive? So his trigger was, I'll imagine I'm talking before a king, a living king. And this way, that make my prayer come alive. The second method was, you watch the birds taking off. I'm thinking about angels. I'm thinking about spiritual beings. Because apparently the angels are the ones who transmit our prayers above if there's no minyan. Right? And that's why you got to pray. It's ironic. Without a minyan, you need to pray in Hebrew. With a minyan, you don't pray in Hebrew. It's ironic. The third rabbi figured out there's bricks in front of me. I need to break through the barriers of the bricks. I just want to tell you what the Shulchan Aruch says. Which is very interesting, because this is in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, this is in the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says, Yishe Sha'achat Kodim Shiyakub Litpalel. A person should wait 1 hour before they pray in order to have kavanah in their hearts. Hard to imagine, right? This is Halakha and Shulchan Aruch. How many people really... So you can say, Shacharit, okay. Shacharit, there's a lot of different prayers before the Shemoneh Esrei. So let's say 1 hour. It's not really 1 hour. It's more like 20 minutes. There's prayers before you get to Shemoneh Esrei. These prayers are meant to get you in the frame of mind. But Mincha, it's just Ashrei. No. 1 hour before Mincha, you've got to start thinking about Mincha. And he says, V'shah achat achar tefila. And 1 hour after the prayers. In other words, a person shouldn't just say, you know, I prayed, finished, it's over, goodbye, see ya, run away. Let it soak into one's consciousness. Imagine, this is Halakha and Shulchan Aruch. You never see anyone do this. person should not just leave and run away like a person running who's just running away. It happens all the time. It's the right, prayers are over, let's run. A person should not pray unless they have humility, which is removing the ego. Not through lightheadedness and not through laughter. Not through vanities of speech. And not through anger. Only through simcha, joy, which we are going to talk about next week. Joy. What do you get joy? Joy is when the Torah says, Hashem redeemed us from Egypt. Just think, wow, we were slaves and Hashem redeemed us, and it's so, I'm so happy, Baruch Hashem, like Pesach. It's so good to feel like Hashem is powerful, Hashem can redeem. If Hashem can redeem them, He can redeem me as well. That's the joy we're talking about, the joy of redemption. A person should feel some joy of redemption in their lives. Or the joy of Ashrei, which David HaMelech says, Ashrei Shevetecha. Happy are they who sit in your house. Joy, Hashem. I'm sitting in your house. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm close to you. That's the happiness a person's going to enter with it before praying to Hashem. Okay. And so there's many halachot regarding prayer, which are amazing. Now he comes to Kabbalah. This is in Siman Sadichet in Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim. Mipaleh tzarech shechaven libo. A person's going to have concentration. Here's the word, kavana. People don't realize kavana means meditation. Kavanah doesn't just mean to straighten your mind, it means to meditate. Ari Kaplan has a book called Jewish Meditation. He says we have lost the meaning of these words because we take it, we say it so frequently, we just don't realize what they mean. Lechaven means to direct one's mind, which is meditation. One's going to meditate. So the Shulchan say, when a person prays, he has to meditate with his heart. What does he have to meditate on? Perush HaMilot. The meaning of the words. The person's going to say the meaning of the words, got to think of the meaning of the words, and then, piyachshov kiilu shechina kenegdo. He's got to think as if the Shekhinah's presence is right there facing him. That's very hard to think. As we talked about first, Yirei Shamayim, so the person's, Hashem's presence is there all the time. The person's going to think when I'm praying, Hashem is right here listening to me. You know, it's so hard because I'll tell you why. Most people don't believe Hashem is there. I'd say 99%. I don't know. I'm just thinking about myself. So say I'll take myself as one 90%. I know. So 99% of people don't think of Hashem as being there. How do you know? Because when they're praying, they're worried. They're praying to the King of Kings, and they're thinking about their problems at the same time. One second. Why am I thinking of my problems when the person to address my problems to is right here? The person who can solve all my problems is right in front of me, so why do I have to think about my problems and my worries when here's the solution in front of me? So that means if I'm not thinking of it as a solution, I don't believe that Hashem is there. Or, which is more likely, I believe Hashem is there. I just don't believe He's listening. Or, I don't believe He's going to give it to me. So all these things can stop a person's prayers from going up. It was our way we pray. And our belief system is very important in terms of whether prayer will be effective or not. A person believes Hashem is there, that's 30% of the problem. A person believes Hashem is listening, 30%, 33 and a third, okay. A person believes Hashem is good and Hashem will give, if he wants to, that's another 33%. Those are the 30, checklist. Do I believe Hashem is there? That's something I got to work on. Hashem is there, Hashem is right in front of me, listening to me. Do I believe that Hashem is listening to me? Yes, I believe Hashem is there listening. So why am I worrying? Why do I have these thoughts in my head? While I'm praying, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about this. You know, sometimes the prayers cause more worry. Why? Because I'm saying Rifa'enu, and then I'm saying the list of all the poor, sick people. God, that's not, the mind diverts itself to, oh, this person's really sick, I'm really worried about this person. But one second, the solution is right in front of you. Or a person has some financial difficulties, praying now, Baruch Aleinu, Baruch Enu, help me, Hashem. Financial, he starts thinking about his financial difficulties, the IRS, this and that, who knows what's going on in the person's life. And instead of Kavanah, because Hashem is right there, he starts focusing on something else. So that's a problem. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's the problem. So we have to try our best to think, to Mechaven. So the three, let's talk about the three things. So number one, we talked about Yirei Shamayim. Yirei Shamayim, a person's going to think Hashem is there all the time. And that is very, very conducive to prayer. Very, very conducive to prayer, because that's number one. Hashem is right there. So if a person has Yirei Shamayim, implies you can pray anytime. Because you're clinging to Hashem. You're there. Hashem is with you all the time. And if Hashem is with you all the time, you just have to talk. Hashem is with you. You don't even have to talk, because He knows it's in your mind. A person can pray internally. Not to be Yotze the three prayers, but to be Yotze Avodah Shebalev. Praying internally is connecting to Hashem. So connecting to Hashem, a person should have a conversation with Hashem all the time. All the time. And it's so hard. Because instead of conversing with Hashem, we worry about ourselves. So converse it to Hashem. Tell Hashem your problems. Tell Hashem your worries. This way you're connecting to Hashem. So Yirei Shamayim, we said, truth. Hashem is v'tayit yiftach. Open my lips. I can't open my lips. My lips are full of garbage. My lips were told lies. My lips spoke lashon hara. You open my lips. I can't. Our lips are terrible. With Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, asked in the Gemara, he says, Hashem should have created us with two mouths. One for the bad and one for the good. And the answer the Gemara gives is, if He gives us two mouths, we'd speak double bad. Who would be one for good, one for bad? Both for bad. So, one mouth is enough. But Hashem gave us guards in the mouth. He gave us lips, He gave us teeth. Stop the mouth. Stop it. Stop talking sometimes. So, number one is, we said Yirei Shamayim. Number two is truth. And number three is speak truth in one's heart. Speak truth in the heart. Don't have truth outside, but inside. A person says, I want to lie. I want to steal. I want to crook. I can't. You know, I'm controlling myself, but inside it doesn't match the outside. A person eventually has got to work on the inside as well. So by working on the outside, a person's got to know, eventually I'm going to work on the inside. I come for the kiddush, I come to fraternize, but eventually I'm going to work on the inside. I'm going to work on the tefillah. I'm going to work on connecting to Hashem. And then we talked about three concentrations, three ways to get concentration. The first one is thinking Hashem is right in front of us, the King. The second one is to imagine angels flying around and going upwards and connecting between us and Hashem. And the fourth one is to break the barriers between us, the wall between us. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue next week. With joy.